how nice. Thank you, Judith. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Tom. And it's such a delight to come here again. I think now for the, is it the third time? I was just thinking, because as you heard already, besides a dream worker, I'm a meditator. And coming into the, is this too loud? Is this having, it's fine? Okay. I hear a little hum, but, oh, the hum is gone. I thought it was the hum of the spirit, but I thought, oh, I can't even stop talking. The spirit is already here. It hums. I thought, you know, as I, in meditation and dream work, what's really the connecting piece there is being in the present moment, is mindfulness, being here now. And, you know, as many of you know, or maybe probably all of you know, we can access the mystery through the now, the power of now. And so that's why I was thinking maybe we should just start our day with just 3-4 minutes of being here now, of a bit of guided mindfulness. Just a few minutes, okay? And let yourself settle into the sensations of your body. Notice the touch between your body, the chair, your feet on the ground. And if there's tightness in your neck and shoulders, let them drop with the exhale. If there's tension in your jaw, let it relax. Muscles of your face, let go. Your eyes in their sockets soften. Space between your eyebrows opening up. Notice the area of your chest where your heart is. And allow your whole body to be filled with presence. Being part of the field around you. And from this field of presence, notice breath arising with the inhale, letting go with the exhale. Surrendering to the big breath of life. Allowing your body to be breathed. Come back to the sensations, the particular sensations in your body. And with kindness, without judgment, with friendship towards yourself, Just be with what you are experiencing. Thank you. And you will see, besides this being a relaxing and arriving in place exercise, it is also about the way we meet the dream, and hopefully we meet life, you know, with mindfulness and kindness. So, as Judith already mentioned, is this okay? It's okay. As Judith already mentioned, recently I had I met with Thomas Moore last fall, and my husband and his wife, and we all had a lovely dinner at what is this wonderful place on State, the Italian place, Via Maestra. Right, and actually talked about his book, you know, which none of us had read by them, and discussed the implication of a religion of one's own. And then when I knew I was invited to this conference, I wrote Tom a letter, and we had a few exchanges back and forth, which was really wonderful. So that really helped me to prepare for this talk. And so before I talk about dreams as spiritual path, I want to speak a few words about the idea of finding a religion on one's own and how dreams fit into that. So just to set a container. So when Thomas and I talked about his book, I told him, reading your book in preparation for this talk, I want to tell you how much I have been enjoying it. To legitimize the concept of putting together a religion of one's own, I find groundbreaking, which gives us permission to do what we are already doing. So many of us have been studying, often seriously, several religious paths. And I told him a little bit about my experience, that having been steeped in Catholicism, coming up from a Catholic family and boarding school, I followed Buddhist practice since my early 20s, which is 35 years ago, and also lived in a Hindu ashram in the early 80s. But even though I, as you know, I teach Buddhist-inspired meditation, I also love to go to Cynthia Borgo's seminars, and I love to go to the Kamaldolese Hermitage, and I love to go to Jewish Shabbats and Muslim Seders. And my husband, who follows the Red Road, the American Indian Road, I love to go to sweat lodges with him. And I feel the sacred everywhere, you know, personally. Whether it's in a Buddhist temple in Sri Lanka, or in Tibet, the Sun Temple of the Aztecs, or the little shrines in the Indian countryside, or the little chapels along the Camino. Last summer we walked the Camino. I feel at home in, I would say, most all of these sacred places, and I experience a sense of relief when I find the vicinity to that which connects me to the sacred. And you know, and the sacred can have many, many manifestations. And Thomas replied, gave an interesting response. He said he understood exactly what I meant, yet he has himself doubts about bringing out the word religion, worried that people are not ready to embrace the word religion again. So that was interesting, you know, that he brought that up. And maybe that's something for you to discuss. So in his book, Thomas mentioned dream as one of many possible religious paths. And maybe, I don't know, in my mind, I put them side by side, spiritual, religious. For me, it's about the direct experience of the numinous. And in a spiritual or religious context, we connect to something larger than ourselves with such a path. And dreams allow us to make such a connection. And having followed myself for several decades, the Buddhist tradition and my love for working with the psyche and especially with dreams, it is really my own personal longing to find ways in which these different religious paths can help us to be more aware, wise and compassionate people through our practice. So that's my own personal hope. And I asked Thomas a question on how to work with dreams after reading his chapter. And my comment was, I often feel that we Westerners need to honor the personal aspect of our psyche, our spirit. Buddhist meditation can be quite im or transpersonal. Dreams had offered me over the last 25 years this personal, particular path to the psyche and the sacred. Dreams can connect us to the immeasurable field of awareness as well to our personal unconscious. You know, it connects us to all levels of our psyche. And my question to you, Tom, is how, in your estimation, can we know that we have been touched by the numinous, the sacred, in our dream? That we have gone beyond the personal, the collective level in our dreams? How can we become more sensitive and open to the numinous in our dreams? So I thought it's best to get it from the, how do you say it, the horse's mouth, right? And actually he was incredibly generous with his answer. So, about dreams and the numinous, Tom says, first, I'd say that the mere fact of dreams puts us into a numinous realm. We don't know where they come from or how they get the structure and content they do. Yet, there's also the sense that we dreamers are part of the action, not just observers. This is crucial, and that's what brings us back to being in the present moment. We go somewhere in a dream that seems to have mythic qualities. Our lives blend with strong images that are simply part of life of human beings, which would speak to the collective experience. And he continues, as I work with dreams in therapy, I'm very aware of how they reveal what is hidden to normal conscious awareness and the current life of the dreamer. They also give indications where the dreamer could move to. So they sometimes give us a direction in life. And he says, Jung says the dream brings with it an ethical challenge. I feel that strongly. We have to respond to the dream, not just saying, how interesting. A regular practice of working with dreams amounts to a true soul-spirit practice, a habit that could be part of anyone's religion. And I think the following sentence is the most important one. Dreams seem to mediate between our human and individual lives on the one hand and a mysterious other world on the other hand. This mediation is the essence of religion. Maybe I say that sentence again. That was a good one. Dreams seem to mediate between our human and individual lives on the one hand and a mysterious other world on the other. This mediation is the essence of religion. And here he even clarifies when he says, when I use the word religion, I usually mean the powerful individual experience of a mysterious other reality not fully in our grasp. So that's an interesting definition of religion. I mean the powerful individual experience of a mysterious other reality not fully in our grasp. That tells me he's a mystic. And he continues, I think the numinous is in every dream, if we could feel it, if we just allow ourselves to feel it. If you're trying to exploit the dream for information you can imply, then you may not sense the numinous because your intention is full of ego. So it's important to let go of ego in our intention meeting the dream. The way you approach a dream is essential to keeping the numinous in sight. You enter the dream with reverence. Then you have a chance to glimpse the eternal in that place. So this is important. This is about the stance we need to have. We have to leave our ego at the door and meet the image with reverence, kind of respecting its particularity, its otherness. I want to bring in somebody else, a man called Sri Mataba Ashish. Okay, one deep breath and feeling again our feet on the ground. I like this better. Looks good. So this man, Sri Mataba Ashish, was an Indian holy man, English descent, whom my husband met in the 90s. And they come to meet each other because my husband, Michael Carney, you here might have presented here, wrote several books on the dreams of dying patients and articles. And Sri Mataba Ashish contacted him and invited him to come to India. So this Indian holy man had worked for 50 years with the dreams of his followers, seeing the work with dreams as part of their spiritual path. And he articulated the dreams as spiritual path in a very lucid and compelling way. He actually wrote a little book which one can get on Amazon through Penguin India, The Open Window, Dreams as Every Man's Guide to the Spirit. It's a little written in 1930s Oxford English, but it's very good. So Sri Ashishta, as he was affectionately called, proposes, if we take as a hypothesis that our dreams are guided by an intelligence greater and wiser than our ordinary waking state, the intelligence of the self, we need to honor that intelligence by acting on its guidance. And in the Hindu tradition, the transpersonal self of the consciousness is known as universal consciousness, which is seen as permeating all existence, very similar to Buddhist view. And the spark of this universal consciousness is within all of us. And our task is to wake up to this. And dreams help us wake up to the spark that is in all of us. And he tells us, when we polish the mirror of the dream through persistent practice, this mirror can turn into a window to glimpse that is far beyond time, space, and form. And I found that that example really, or this image, this metaphor, wonderful, that first we polish the mirror. We see in dreams, you know, what's going on in our lives and what are our worries and concerns and hopes and fears. And as we polish this mirror, we can glimpse what's coming from the other side of the window. I want to illustrate this idea by a short dream which I had many years ago when I was coming out of a time of difficulty. I was sitting on a sandy ground on my knees trying to build the wall of a house. I was working very hard. The stones were heavy and very irregular. No stone was square or straight in any way. I was frustrated and exhausted. As I was building, I realized that all the lines of the wall were uneven. The walls, the windows, everything. I got very frustrated. And I was almost giving up. Then, when I stood back just a little bit, I realized that in its irregularity, the wall to the house was very beautiful. It reminded me of a Hundertwasser painting or building. I could see how the house, which was beginning to emerge, had its own unusual character and charm. So first, when I worked this dream, I felt the frustration and difficulty of the situation. It seemed impossible. When I felt into the stones, they were first heavy and unruly, wanted to fall down again and again. As I slowly built the stones into a wall, a transformation started to take place. Slowly, the beauty and the wisdom of the construction emerged. There was a deep feeling of rightness, wisdom, and satisfaction. So this dream at that time gave me the deep trust that when I could stay with my spiritual practice and keep working on myself in difficult times, that eventually a new wholeness would emerge. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment something. And I wish if I had had my PowerPoint, I could show it to you, but I think you can just imagine it. Imagine a wave in the water, a wave going like this. Imagine this wave just like it was frozen in time, just like this. Imagine the tip of the wave as the ego, kind of up here, like a little cork floating on the top of the wave. Now I want you to imagine the body of the wave as the personal unconscious. So the ego is here, that's the little bit we are aware of, and under that is the bigger body of the personal unconscious, which is made up of our memories, feelings, and instincts. As you go deeper, I want you to imagine the base of the wave as it connects to the big ocean. So here's the wave, the personal unconscious, here it connects to the big ocean, and out of which all other waves arise. This is what Jung called the collective unconscious. And in its depth, it is connected to the deep stream of being. So that's where the wave meets the big ocean, which holds the wisdom of the world. So did you get that? So that's the wave, the ego, the personal unconscious, which is more contained to our particular wave, and then the world unconscious and the deep stream of being is connecting us to everything. When I look at my wall dream, it showed my dream ego as the I, struggling in difficult times, trying to put my life back together after a separation. So that's very personal. The collective unconscious aspect of the dream is the human toiling to build a house. Speaks as image to our human condition. We are all the, you know, much of the time toiling to build our houses. It's just part of being human. The uneven, non-fitting wall turning into something unique allows greater wisdom of the dream to shine through. So that's where the numinous starts to shine through. The broken parts emerge as part of the greater whole, revealing in their brokenness their unique beauty. And so that's where I began to feel the numinous. And as I came into the present moment and stayed with the experience of my frustration with uneven stones, when I began to lean into my pain, so to speak, then the religious / spiritual dimension began to shine through. And that's actually very similar to my Buddhist path. You know, if I'm staying very aware with what is and lean with that practice in also into the discomfort, transformation can happen. And I want to and actually who introduced me to this graph is Lionel Corbett, who is a Jungian analyst teaching at Pacifica. And Corbett says, as far as we know, the transpersonal psyche may permeate the entire world of nature and even the entire cosmos. Therefore, it is understood that this model, which I just presented, seems hierarchical, but it's just merely a working hypothesis. Much more likely, all these levels are swirling in and out of each other. It would be just hard to teach like that. And so many dream workers notice that the superior of dreams have the capacity, as we work the dream, to individuate, meaning as we work the dream, to become wiser and wiser, which is really one of the reasons why I like so much to work with dreams. And this dream of the wall is a good example of an image individuating, transforming into itself. So in some sense, the process of this dream was prophetic for that part of my life. The dream stayed with me for many years and gave me hope when things were hard and lonely, and gave me the confidence into the unfolding of my own unique path. Let me see here. So what I want to do now is take this time of you working in groups, and then we will have a break, and then I will come to the second half of my talk and leave some time for questions and answers. So I want to actually give you only two questions. So maybe it's 15, maybe 17, 18 minutes or so. So maybe I'll cut that in half. You know, after about a little bit less than 10 minutes, I will say half time, second question. I will present the second question. So the first question says, or maybe first a comment of Thomas More, and the question will come out of that. Dreams seem to mediate between our human and individual lives on the one hand and a mysterious other world on the other. This mediation is the essence of religion. So my question that I like you to maybe first feel into for a minute by yourself, and then when you feel comfortable, share with your group, is the following. What is your experience of that? When have you ever had an experience of there being a personal experience, maybe through a dream, maybe if you don't remember a dream, an event? And then the numinous, the sacred God, however you want to call it, to shine through. And maybe to share with each other an example of such an experience, where through an experience of the personal, maybe through personal hardship, you kind of became more porous or of the numinous. And maybe you remember a dream, or you remember an experience or an illness. And so maybe just for a minute, sit for yourself before sharing with your table mates. And if you didn't quite understand the question, please raise your arm, then I come and explain it one more time. We come to the second question, but I realize the second and the first question are quite connected. So whoever hasn't gone yet with the first question can maybe go with the second question. And giving everybody a chance to speak. Right. Srimataba Ashish says, when we polish the mirror of the dream through persistent practice, this mirror can turn into a window through which we can glimpse that which is beyond time, space, and form. Can you remember a dream where you glimpsed the eternal? Do you remember the effect that had on you and your life? Because I believe when we have such a dream, or in lack of dream, life event, that has an effect on our life. You know, that usually cannot, you know, there a response in us is asked for. So, thank you. Okay, I say it one more time. So can you remember a dream where you glimpsed the eternal, or a life event where you glimpsed the eternal? Do you remember the effects that had on your life?